This is CliffCentral.com.
Hi, this is Bill Clinton. I'm the new host of this show. Gareth, something terrible happened to him. We don't know how, but he was making stupid comments about me and Hillary. Well, I think he had some kind of accident. I will be running the show with my wife, Hillary.
Yes, and we killed Jeff. We just want to get it out there.
Damon was so funny the other day. He was in on Wednesday and he said, who did they have for prison warders? Bill and Hillary Clinton? Oh, man. Oh, so much going on. All right, it's Friday. Oh, are you excited that it's Friday? It just feels like these weeks are going super fast, though. I mean, even though, don't get me wrong, I love a weekend. But Jesus, there's not enough time to get everything done.
We need more work days.
No.
Leanne.
Hell no. What a shocking idea.
We just got over understanding that Monday is your favorite day of the week. Let's just not throw something else.
What is wrong with you? You're sick in the head.
Clearly. Weeks are just too short.
Oh, man.
She's not working enough.
Well, let's just think about it. When is the next pubic holiday? Because now it's August. I think we're out of them.
So oh, no,
there's one in September, pubic holidays.
Oh. Isn't it Yule's Day?
No, Yule's Day is in June.
Heritage Day.
Heritage Day. What day is that again?
It's
Heritage Day.
Tuesday the 24th of September.
It's when we eat Cook Sisters and Pup.
It's the 49th of August, you said. What is it?
24th of September.
Oh, 43rd of August.
Yeah, that one.
Mm. Oh, it's a Saturday. Shit.
No, it's a Tuesday.
No, it's a Tuesday.
What year are you looking at?
I'm looking at August.
I already know.
Okay, so then that probably means you know what that
means. Take the Monday off.
Representing the Cliff Central Workers Union.
Yes.
They're already
I am your shop steward. I'm your shop steward, and I reckon we do the Monday and Tuesday, and we have a nice long weekend.
Good man. Yeah, and write that down quickly before you forget.
Well, I don't know.
It's recorded, Google.
I can't guarantee it. Depends how much we've got to do. All right, so listen.
So write that down.
Anybody got any good plans for the weekend?
I'd like to just get back home peacefully.
What?
Because it's only 6 a.m. and I feel like I've been awake since
2:30. What's the problem, Sia? Well, you came in here like someone. You laughed when you phoned me this morning, as he always does. And I thought, well, maybe he laughed because I very seldom makes sense when I wake up. I usually go, hello. Yeah, good morning, Sia.
He forgot to message me. I messaged him and I was worried about
Apparently
him.
He was dealing with some serious issues. So what's going on in your life?
You know, it's my level of serious. Simply because I was locked in my house this morning.
Oh, shit. Did you lose your keys?
No. So what I've now later discovered is my housemate, who's traveling right now, she's in a flight, locked me in as she left. So in her flutter and fluster of everything, she grabbed her bags, she opened the door from inside, stepped outside, closed the door, and actually forgot to lock. Well, she did lock, but she forgot to take the key out of the keyhole.
Oh, no.
So from me inside,
you couldn't open
it. I couldn't leave.
Is there only one door?
There's only one door. And I had to muster up the courage to end up jumping over my balcony.
No, you didn't.
Are you okay?
Are you on the first floor?
No, I'm on the first floor, not the ground floor.
I thought you were on the second. I was going to say, oh.
But it's the first floor upstairs, so not the ground unit.
Right.
And then I ended up having to get some security guards at the complex to cheer me on. Like,
make
me good, Divas. Just come on. You can jump over that balcony. You can make it happen. But this is the most embarrassing.
So this is at night. You could have been shot.
No, this is this morning.
It was a reverse.
This morning.
It's like those videos that you see with reverse firemen, where the firefighters are rescuing people, but instead they're putting them into the fire. This was a reverse burglary.
So, Sia, who saw you besides the security guards?
Just them. And at that point, I was already on the phone.
And they knew it was you, because otherwise they could have come and thought you were a criminal trying to break into your apartment.
But I was already on the phone cursing her for filth, like, do you understand what you have done to me?
And you're wearing, black dungarees today, so you look like someone.
It's just not a cute look.
Mischievous and
But of course, this is a big deal for me. I'm now like hanging off my balcony going, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And I'm going to fall to the ground.
But
and
how
then
did
I'll
you
be
get down
paraplegic.
From a floor up?
It's hard to explain because there's a short set of stairs and then there's a landing and then there's another set of stairs. Then you get to the first floor of my apartment. So I had to hang off my balcony and jump onto that landing between the two stairs. What I've now discovered is it's actually a short way down.
Could you not have asked the security guys to take the key out of the door?
Yeah, I mean... That was an easy way to do it.
Just realized.
Where's that dunce hat?
Yes. Who's dunce?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That dunce hat's already worn through. We need to buy a new one.
Just ask the security guard to take the key out.
That is when I should have realized it.
Jeez, you guys are...
I actually locked my neighbors in last night.
You
yesterday.
What?
Wait, I just feel so
stupid. I locked
them
in the whole day.
What?
So I've got these students who share an
apartment. So you lock people in. Sia got locked in. What's going on with people? Yeah. Can't you keep your shit together?
No, they share an apartment and they're students and they're stupid. Okay. They leave the key in the door.
Oh, boy.
So I took the first one. They didn't know it was me. Took the second one. They didn't know it was me. And I've got an issue with them and making noise.
You know, you students old man. Stupid shit. You know, you were a student not so long ago.
Oh, I was a responsible student. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
What is with the vulgar language?
Wait, listen to the story, boy.
Oh, I'm a boy.
On Wednesday night, they make a lot of noise. Like, I'm going to solve this once and for all. I woke up on Thursday yesterday, took the key. They're so stupid. So obviously, the burglar gates can't be locked now because I've got the keys, the keys.
Yeah.
So they tie it with an old iPhone cable. I pulled up with a pair of scissors, snip that,
got to
the door, locked the door, got out, locked the burglar gates, and left them there the entire day.
You are
that's very
just
cruel.
A delight
why not deal with, aren't
no, I'm
you?
I'm sick and tired of them.
Have you spoken to them about the noise?
Many times over, Gareth. Many times.
And what kind of people are they? Are they wastrels? Do they lie there stoned the whole time?
Stoned, drunk.
Yeah, okay.
You speak to them, they just stare at you like...
Yeah, so you needed to teach them a lesson. I'm with you.
They learned it.
I'm actually with you.
Okay, good.
They learned it.
Then you should have poured petrol in and let...
No.
Oh, my
no,
God.
I don't think so.
I moved out.
No.
Inciting violence.
Certain people just are not meant for communal complex living. That's what I'm realizing.
That's exactly right. And I am not one of those people. I used to live in a flat here in Morningside. I used to live on my own there. But even though my neighbors had nothing to do with me and I never heard from them, I still hated them.
just the fact that they were there.
Yes, exactly.
So my brother lives in a complex,
gets
up the one morning, gets into his car, ready to go to work. And he realizes that his seat has moved.
Oh, God.
He keeps like a picnic blanket thing that I bought him. It was unraveled. It smelled weird in there.
Someone had been sleeping in his car.
He was like, what's going on? Aye. Goes to work, comes back and says, I need to view the security footage.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
sees somebody coming out from one of the units. A girl.
Mm-hmm.
She is wasted.
Yes.
Absolutely wasted. She's feeling across the cars with her hands and fumbling and tripping.
Wait.
And she's trying all the car doors. She tries my brother's. It's open. Opens it up. And sleeps on the back seat. Opens up the picnic blanket. Move the seats. Has a good fat snooze. Then gets out. Rolls up the blanket and leaves.
Wow.
So he went to the person whose unit it was, and it was a guy, and that was his shag for the night. And apparently he had said, please call an Uber and go.
But she was too wasted?
She couldn't.
Oh, no.
She just couldn't, so she slept in his car.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, you see, there are all of these weird experiences. Like us, Jane, who we work with here, said a couple of weeks ago she just couldn't take it anymore because she couldn't understand how the person who lives just above her always had to the equivalent of spring clean daily, and that means like move things around and push couches out of the way, so there was all this scratching and scraping happening on top of her.
Why? Did she find out what it was?
Oh, our stranger does not shy away from confrontation, she so just went straight up there and said, like, no, this has to stop. Yeah.
She just started shouting at them.
What I find difficult about complex living is you live with all of these people.
Yes.
You are all in each other's spaces, but you don't really know each other.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, this
week, like stranger danger. You kind of avoid each other.
Yeah, but also you're like, maybe I should make a bit more of an effort. This week there was an ambulance just in the same row of, you know, buildings that I live in. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to be insensitive, but at the same time, I don't want to pry. But at the same time, I want to go over there and offer my help. But I don't know them from, you know, a bar of soap.
We used to live when I was married underneath this real lush. She would wait until I left.
She would wait
until I go to the shops, and then she'd get into her negligee and gown
and drink
and go downstairs to my husband and knock on the door and say, "I can't open this bottle of wine." And she'd wear high heels 24/7 in the unit above us. Just so
yes. Oh, that would be me.
A lashed negligee.
I can't open this wine.
The brand. We spoke about brand the other day.
Why is it that all drunks call it wine?
I don't know, but they do.
You lose the ability to enunciate your syllables, probably. Just all rolls into one.
It's a wine. So I go to Woolworths yesterday. I'm in the queue. I look down and I'm wearing my slippers.
Oh, no.
You've become one of those people.
Human being. Were you suddenly embarrassed?
So embarrassed. I was trying to use the basket to hide my shoes. And they were torn as well. So
Leanne, that's terrible. You must have looked like a homeless woman.
I was so embarrassed.
I hope you were buying things that didn't include brand.
No, maybe it was a box of wine.
Come on.
That enough spoil already classifies you as an old person?
So just more on my shopping experiences.
Oh my God.
The day before, I give my card to the lady, the teller.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She drops it and she goes, "Oh, I'm so clumsy today." And then she says, "Did you hear that? I can't say clumsy." And she just gave up and did a face palm. And the day before that, I'm driving to the petrol station. And I need an onion. I just want one onion.
What the hell's wrong with you that you go
so desperately need an onion?
Because I needed petrol as well.
One onion.
I just needed one onion.
Do you know anyone who buys one onion? That irritates.
I just need one apple.
Just hold before you even finish the story.
I'm not going to use them all.
I hate when people go to the shops for one thing. I always think it is the most stupid.
I went for two, petrol and an onion.
Only two different things.
It doesn't sound better.
So in my head, I'm going, I want 200 rands worth of petrol of 93 octane. So I go, onion and 200 rand of 93. Onion and 200 rand of 93.
Right? So you're rehearsing?
Yes, in my head.
Trying to remember.
I roll down the window and I say to the petrol attendant, "Hi, can I have an onion and 293? He's like, "What?"
Leanne, do you understand what you're doing today?
People still ask me,
incriminating yourself.
When you and Leanne, when you used to do those shows, were you making that stuff up about her? And I'm like, no, ask her. This is all stuff that actually happens.
These are the days of my life.
You're a one person soap opera.
And 293.
An onion and 293.
What did you get? What did you say?
He just looked very confused. And then I said, "Sorry, don't worry about the onion. Just give me 200 rand of 93.
You know, just 200 rand of 93. And if you don't mind, if you could produce an onion from that machine behind you, that would be terrific.
Why does it bother you? So I think it bothers you because that means you did not plan accordingly.
Correct.
And to it's get also, your groceries on
it's
time.
Just, it's completely, like, groceries you buy in bulk. Jane the other day went with Pinky to the shops and they bought like enough milk to last us for 4 months. It's that long life stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I think that is fantastic and they saved money. And they did one trip. And now for the next 4 months they don't have to go nah, 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 buy milk.
No, I agree with you, and I'm usually very good with it.
Irritates me.
It really does. I can tell.
I don't know why it bothers me so much. It's like people who go to the shops to buy one light bulb when their light bulb goes. Like, go to the shops at the end of the month when you've got a salary payout or you've got some kind of extra money lying around, and then buy 5 light bulbs, and then for the next 5 or 6 months, if your light bulbs go, you have something to replace it with in the house.
Mm.
Just going to buy
toilet
paper.
With you. It was just a weird situation because I don't cook for myself very rarely. I might use one onion a month.
I made pasta for myself this week. I think it was on Tuesday.
That's what I was making.
Mm, see?
And you desperately needed that one onion. Mm. Do you know, I'm just thinking right now, it would be... One of us would have to be sacrificed and killed if we were to live together.
Oof.
Even for a stretch of...
Definitely. Definitely.
Just under 2 weeks. I think that's how long we'd be able to make it. Because I didn't even blink when you mentioned, like, oh, the people who go and they buy one light bulb. I'm like, yeah, why would you buy unnecessary amounts? Like, stockpile light bulbs.
So do you buy, like, one roll of toilet paper?
No.
And you just walk out
carrying...
No, yeah, loo paper is different because you buy the big pack. But yeah, I mean, Jesus, if
I buy
one...
so much at a time, it one looks like I've got terrible digestion problems.
It's really splattered the bowl.
Yeah, I buy a ton of the stuff and then I don't think about it for like months.
Yeah, but I do start panicking when I'm down to my second last.
No, if I lived in the perfect house, and I mean, a lot of the things in my life I've designed around me to be for my utility...
Mm-hmm.
But I would have a stockpile of, it would look like a macro inside my house.
My dad has
that. In my basement. And I'd have, there would be no need to go to the store for 5 years at a time.
Mm.
That would be a winning formula for me.
My
if
dad
I had tons
has that.
And tons of money, that's what
these,
I'd do.
These stashes, these cupboards, but they're usually high up. Mm. So when you do run out of something, it's like, Dad, can I have a bottle of water? And he'll take half an hour because he's got to get the ladder.
But he loves it.
Oh, he loves it.
He loves stockpiling.
Really,
yeah.
To have that control and he locks them
up. I'm not like those weird Americans, those preppers. You know, those people
doomsday preppers.
Yeah, they keep like a whole. I keep 700 cans of bully beef in my basement in my special survival shelter because they're worried that the apocalypse is coming, that zombies are going to come and take over the world. I don't. It's not that that's driving me. I like to have the things that I need at hand when I need them, and I do not want to have to inconvenience myself or other people. So I like to prepare it. So I'll go and buy. If you walk into my pantry at home, it looks like the stockroom of a liquor store.
Mm.
It's just bottles and bottles and bottles of liquor. Like if I stayed at home, and if I were a depressed person and I drank on my
own, you'd kill yourself.
I'd kill myself. I'd have enough alcohol to wipe myself out, and probably another 10 people as well.
Now, that's the only thing I have stockpiled at
home. Oh, you see, so everybody has it. But then...
That's all.
But it's such an obsession with me that if I don't have the requisite amounts in stock, I start getting nervous.
Really?
Weird. I don't keep a lot of fresh food around because I'm not a cook either, and I don't like cooking for myself. When you live on your own, you seldom do.
Mm.
You know, everybody thinks... You know, you see these TV shows where these single people are always cooking for themselves. Like, it's so annoying and ungratifying to cook a meal for yourself if it's just you. You really only want to fill the space and have something reasonably healthy and then go to bed.
Yeah.
Or do your work or get other things done. Like, eating is not a ritual for me when I'm on my own. And people who are foodies, I suppose, are slightly different. They take great pleasure in that. It's a project for them. They, on the way home, they'll buy ingredients or... They'll have everything that they needed at home 3 days before because they know they want to make this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in that at all. I don't know how to make macaroni and cheese. I don't know how I can cook a steak. I can make a salad. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't make fancy food for myself when I'm on my own.
You don't garnish.
There's no one there to say, ooh, this is lovely. Well done.
Yeah, and I'm not impressed with food. Like, I know a good meal when I see one and when I have
one. You've often said you'd rather take a tablet.
If I could. I mean, wouldn't you? If you could, and remember, meals for humans are a ritual. So it's a time for us to get together with our friends and we talk and we turn it into a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say to people, oh, let's go out for lunch or let's go out for dinner. Or you associate food with social interaction.
Yeah, or let's cook
things.
This together.
Yeah. And I mean, even, you know, bigger rituals like weddings and funerals, and they're all based around a meal. There has to be catering for all the people that you've invited. So I understand that part of it. And I mean, I don't imagine us sitting around with a fancily decorated table for our tablet that we're going to have to take in 20 years' time. But if I could, and you could take, let's say, 5 to 8 tablets a day that would give you all the necessary nutrition that you could possibly want, and you wouldn't be hungry except for the pleasure of eating, the pleasure of it, right?
Yeah.
So in other words, you wouldn't need food.
But you could go out to that restaurant and enjoy a meal.
Right. Now, that would be perfect for me. I don't care about the actual food like most people do.
Would we still get the feeling of itis? Because that I still want.
Meaning?
Christmas afternoon when you've eaten so much.
Itis. Yes.
I need itis.
Yeah, but that's one of the reasons you do Christmas lunch, right? Yes. Is to have that sleep in the middle of wherever, on the grass.
Comatose sleep.
Or you're lying there like someone who's like a lion. Have you ever seen lions after they've eaten a whole antelope?
They just can't move.
They just lie there with their distended stomachs going...
A couple friend of mine who's in an interracial relationship had said, you know, race first doesn't really matter and we love each other and it's fine. But the guy who happens to be white really noticed that, okay, I'm dealing with someone different here, when it was Easter lunch. Yeah. And he went over to the black girl's family and said, like, wait, how many people are coming based on the food that's on the table? She's like, oh yeah, no, it's just like the 5 of us. She's like, this is food for like 50.
Oh wow.
I'm like, that's itis. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But that's also,
you still need itis.
I think that's a problem for some families regardless, because there's always stuff left over. And then there are people, while we're talking about this, who insist on Tupperwaring everything that's left over. Mm. And for a week afterwards, they will make their way through all the leftovers. I don't like that.
What?
No.
You know what I tried was this weekly meal prepping. I did it for 1 week.
Okay. How was it for you?
Just 1 week.
Clearly it worked really well after 1 week.
On a Sunday, you go and buy all the ingredients and you prep salads and like all sorts of things in jars. And I did that. And it was really nice. But it took me about 3 hours.
But if you compared that 3 hours to time you would have spent spread over the entire week as well.
No, you see, I would have just bought ready meals.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was a lot of effort. I don't know if I'll do it again.
No, I love the Tupperware thing the following week. It's part of the fun.
Do you? Well,
it's part of the itis.
I worry about, like, if you keep things like chicken and, you know, eventually, that stuff starts becoming dangerous.
Oh. Yeah, you can freeze it.
I don't like stuff that isn't fresh. And I know it sounds spoiled, but I'd make less so that I don't have leftovers than make more and end up having to make my way through it for a week afterwards. Not good.
And this is why I say we'd last just under 2 weeks together.
Well, I know people who are very successful at having roommates and flatmates. They get along, they choose the right people, they choose each other properly, they know each other, they get along, they make sure there's space. If the other person brings home the significant other, then one gets out of the way, that kind of thing. I couldn't do it. I mean, even when
I'm just far too awkward. I have a tenant in a cottage that's not even attached to my house.
Yeah.
And when she arrives, I close the blinds and I stand still so she can't see my shadow. I'm just so awkward.
Maybe this was caused by the time that she spotted you half naked.
I mean, this might be it.
I mean, what an embarrassment. No, I couldn't even... why am I even telling this story?
Go ahead.
I can't even... When I'm in a relationship... I don't even then like
the person who's staying
for
there.
Them to stay all the time. They can stay like 2, maybe 3 nights in a week, and they've got to get the fuck away because I have a huge need for space.
Two consecutive nights?
Yeah, that's all right. But then, I definitely need a break. No, you know what it is? I've spent a lot of time on my own, and I don't get lonely. I like being alone. I've got lots to keep me busy, right? I'm always working on something or reading something or paying attention to some new interest. As a result, when someone is, even if they're just present, and this is what I don't understand about other relationships, and I'm willing to accept that it's because I'm an idiot or because I'm weird. Whatever you prefer is the explanation. But I don't want someone lurking the whole time. Even if they're in another room doing their own thing, I just want to be able to... The dog is enough company. Seriously.
More than enough company.
And I know that's only going to get worse as I get older. Yeah. And I'm going to become more and more impossible. And I'm probably going to be alone, so alone. And it doesn't scare me at all. It makes me super excited. I love, love, love getting home and knowing there's no one else there.
It's the best.
Isn't it the best?
Yeah, love it.
I don't want to poison anyone else. If you're in a great relationship and you love it,
good for
I'm so happy for you. But I love getting home and knowing there's no one else in my house. I can have a sleep. I could watch TV. I could read a book. I could do whatever the hell I want.
You can have 14 poops.
You can take a big shit and you don't have to worry. Yeah. I mean, yes, I know guys who don't, they live in an apartment with their girlfriend or their wife, and they don't shit in the apartment.
Oh, yes.
They go to a garage.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Damn it.
No, no. I mean, imagine not feeling welcome enough in your own home.
to take a shit.
And then you do take a shit because you think she's away, and then she comes home. And she's like, oh, my God. What is that? Don't you ever do that again, you disgusting beast.
You got to own it, Gareth. You got to own it.
Yeah.
How?
I'm going to take a shit. Stay here.
Don't you remember we got a call?
I own it.
The other day, man. From the one dude who said to us that's what he does.
I own it. Yeah.
Did you say, yes, I took a gigantic shit in the bathroom? You better get used to it.
Oh, you guys are
enjoy
just
the splashing noises, honey.
Shining examples of bachelors. Ooh, I don't understand why you're single.
luckily, luckily, Leanne's brother didn't suffer a soup kitchen. Do you know what that is?
No.
This is from Lee. Lee says a soup kitchen is when a group of homeless people have an orgy in a car.
Ooh.
And leave all their sweaty homeless juices.
No. No.
So if homeless people have sex in a car, it's called a soup kitchen. Lee, you just made my morning. Oh, fuck, that's amazing. R in Cape Town says, a homeless man slept in my daughter's car outside her flat for 3 years.
For 3 years?
Wait, how did you know?
She gave up with having the door repaired, so she just left the car unlocked for him, and she eventually moved, so he lost his home.
Oh, shame. Oh, my God.
No, that can't be real, right?
Even though I'm sad Ben is gone, Gugu is great. He's the best intern you've had yet. That's from Graham. Isn't that nice?
Good. Thanks, Graham.
There we go. Some very positive feedback, Gugu. See, it does get better, Gugu.
It does get better with time.
It does. You just got to give it a good go, you know? And then Amelia says, hey, Gareth, I'm listening to The Burning Platform and Canton's stats on women's unemployment in the UK. It's 3.7%, not 24%. Wow. Well, I don't know what Pumi and Cantor are going to find to argue in that, but it'll probably be very vociferous, so we'll save it for next week. Homotso says, I was listening earlier and you mentioned the Hammanskraal water situation. I think this is from yesterday, but it's still relevant, which you also spoke about last week. I'm from Hammanskraal. The truth is the water hasn't been healthy for consumption for over a year, if not maybe 2 years. We're now used to buying water from purified water shops, which popped up since this whole mess. Some even shut down. Anyway, shout-outs to you and the gang. You see, this is always, like, people talk about how bad things are, and I do this too, so I apologize if I brought you down with all the bad news, but you can't ignore it. The upshot to bad news, like water in Hammanskraal being undrinkable, is that some smart person opens up a purified water shop there, and they can make a fortune. So there are ways, even in depressed and depraved economies, for people and clever, smart, industrious risk takers to make an enormous amount of money. You know, most of the richest people in the world became rich during recessions. So, so think about it that way. If you know, as Anthea always says, if there's a great economy, the rising tide lifts all boats. And that is true. But it also allows average and pedestrian businesses to look like they're thriving. It's in tough economic times that if your business can, even if you just break even or you make a slight loss that you can cover during those times, then you really can consider yourself a success. It's tough economies that test a business, not the good ones. Hmm. So there's something to think about, even if you're feeling bad about how things are going in terms of your own business or your own your own current project. Maybe you just aren't getting the support that you need for a project at the moment because there's no money around. All right, here's something else that's quite interesting. Chris says, I'm currently in Dar es Salaam, and the hotel I'm staying at looked at me weird when I asked for some toilet paper. It must be the person at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, and this same guy, Chris, is very angry that he says, Pumi adds nothing to the Thursday show. Make Thursdays great again.
Oh.
And geez, all right. Well, you know what, Chris, I'll take your advice and feedback to the team and we'll make a decision. I always buy loo paper, basmati rice, and pasta and cereal on special for the kids, and I buy it in bulk. That's quite interesting, because that's from Ruth. She says that that's what her plan is. Yeah, you know, if you're going to go to the shops, do it once. Don't do it 20 times.
Guys.
And Fundo saying that he loves the Bill and Hillary Clinton show on Cliff Central. It's much better than the Gareth Cliff show. And Gareth, the reason a lot of people and myself don't buy in bulk is because we're always watching for those special offers. Yeah, but when they come along, then you buy in bulk. That's even more clever,
that's what
right?
I do. I buy like 10 deodorants.
I might change my tune in a couple of years' time when I become even more responsible, I guess. But I just, it seems
you're
so...
You're a pretty responsible person. I don't know if you're going to get more
but
responsible.
But when it comes to that, it seems so granny-esque.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, like, it makes
granny-esque.
Her day. She sits on
specials.
The dining room table.
Really?
She will carry pamphlets galore from all of the different stores. Then she has all of the different grocery store apps on her phone. So she can then download the coupon there.
That's
and she
amazing.
She can use that voucher and she can cross-check there.
And how much does she save?
Oh, look.
Fortunes.
She's so proud of herself. Who
Good
knows?
For her. I mean, listen, that is...
But I couldn't.
I couldn't, but I'd love your sister to work for me. Like, can you imagine if she could do that for all of us?
She'd love
She'd love it, and she could earn, like, we would all pay her whatever we saved just to, I would.
Yeah.
But I was thinking from yesterday's conversation around therapy, this is the same sister who also goes to therapy, so she minds exactly how much she spends, where she spends it, and how.
How come she's so schnorrer? And you don't mind splashing out
of
flights to Cape Town.
I wonder where it came from. Yeah. But she'll go to therapy and she'll get so frustrated after an hour session because she spent the hour, bulk of the hour, crying. So she goes, I wasted my money. I couldn't even speak. I lost my 900 and something. I'm like, dude, just calm down. So now she goes, okay, next week I need to write down. And she now keeps a diary of what she wants to speak about.
She'd be like
therapy.
An extreme...
to make sure she touches on all of the points to get her...
Good.
Was
her.
Worth.
Well, she's very conscientious.
Yeah.
Give her that. She's probably, I don't know which sister you're talking about here.
She's more conscientious.
Yes, but what's the bit that she's organized. She's got her shit together.
Like, yeah.
If you need something done in the family, she's the best one to ask.
True, but dealing with all of us who are slightly lax is a bit of a headache.
For her.
Yeah.
She struggles.
She already wants to talk about Christmas plans and where we'll be and what we're doing and how the family's coming together.
Okay, you know what? I don't want to be single anymore. What's your sister up
to?
She sounds like my kind of girl. So Sandile says, Gareth is me. I'm a solo person. If my girlfriend is around, she needs to leave in like 2 days. Go away. Being home alone is amazing. Well, don't tell her that because that really is not the recipe for a happy relationship. All right, so many other things to get to.
Hey, by the way, just quickly, did you see Macaulay Culkin? You mentioned Home Alone. That reminded me.
Yeah.
There's a Home Alone reboot that's coming. Oh. And Macaulay Culkin posted a picture of himself saying, oh, yeah, this is fine, right, for the reboot. And he looks horrible.
But he has looked horrible for years.
Yeah, he's a real disaster. He's
talking about soup kitchens, sure.
He took the piss out of himself, though, which I like. But he has a pudgy beard now. He was eating, like, pasta off his own...
A pudgy beard?
A pudgy beard. Oh. A pudgy tummy, sorry.
Oh, all right.
And he was eating pasta off his tummy as well, you know, using his big boob as a table.
Oh, God.
It was
that's,
fun.
That's so lovely. How attractive. All right. Let's go. You want to hear some news stories?
Yes.
Yes, it's that time.
It's that time. It's time. Oh, well, actually, we're 8 minutes late, but here it is. Better late than never. Cape Town police on Thursday arrested a taxi driver with multiple identities who managed to rack up traffic fines of over. How much you reckon the average taxi manages to rack up? Because they break all the rules.
Grand?
Yeah, this guy got 56,000 rand in fines. Officers caught the 34-year-old guy doing an operation geared towards tracking down drivers without standing warrants of arrest. City of Cape Town traffic officers pulled him over while they were busy with Operation Reclaim in Elsie's Refeer on Tuesday. They say he initially lied about his details. A scan of his fake name revealed he had outstanding warrants for a bunch of traffic offenses. When the con artist proved that he was his actual person, he had his real identity, it too flagged that he had outstanding warrants registered in his name. So his fake name and his real name both had warrants. Apparently, the man, in an attempt to escape being arrested, gave officers a third identity, which they looked up, and there were more fines on that one too.
Okay, he's less than smart.
It's like being at the till when you've got no money and your credit cards are all not working, and you keep handing over a new one just in case.
Yes, except this is much more criminal.
This is true.
This man was one of 130 arrests on the day for fines totaling more than 1.2 million.
I hope they get him bad. Rash. Yesterday, in the traffic, I swear to God, I was the only person who was obeying the rules.
Yeah, it feels like that sometimes.
Oh.
4 years ago, South African fashion designer Innocent Molefe, 38, was diagnosed with TB. A year later, it developed into multi-drug resistant strains requiring painful injections and heaps of pills. 3 months after the first round of treatment, he relapsed and started a second round. At the end of it, he still wasn't cured. Now, thanks to a new treatment approved on Wednesday by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, he is now cleared of the disease.
Oh,
this is extremely
really?
Good news because TB, you know, kills,
yeah.
I think it's the second biggest killer in South Africa. So TB is a serious problem, and if they've found drugs to beat, especially these very drug-resistant versions of the disease, then this is terrific news. He's cleared of the disease, he's bounced back to work, even resumed nightclubbing, something he stopped 4 years ago. Woohoo! I was willing to beat TB and I'm living proof. I can move around, I can go clubbing till the early hours, said the dreadlock designer in his home in Soweto. The announcement was especially welcomed in South Africa, one of the countries with the highest number of TB cases. Of the more than 1.6 million TB deaths recorded every year, 75,000 of them are in South Africa alone.
Jeez.
Sure.
Wow. Yeah, and 2017, South Africa recorded more than 322,000 active TB cases. So, hell. Thank you very much, U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And let me remind you, while we've been talking about NHI all week, if we don't think carefully about what we do with this NHI, there's no way drugs like that will be provided to us for free. And the government won't be able to afford drugs like that on their own basis. And who's going to pay for them? Well, I'll tell you what, unless you are a famous designer in Soweto, you are going to die. So let's just think about this NHI again, because these things cost money to research. Everybody goes, oh, big pharma, you know, they're all stealing our money. Now, they may have, in many situations, profiteered, and sometimes a little bit more than slightly mercilessly. But it needs to be said that researching these drugs costs an enormous amount of money. There are scientists, perhaps even hundreds of them, in laboratories working their backsides off trying to find out why a certain strain of TB exists and how to kill it and what to do about it. And if those people aren't paid for their time and their research, you don't get the drugs. You can't just say, I'm going to take the drugs, make a generic version after all the work's been done, and then make it cheaper for everybody to use it. Just because they need it doesn't mean they should get it. Someone has to be paid for their time and their effort. Someone went to university, someone studied, someone's put in endless hours to make sure that some of us can then pay them for their time and their effort, get a drug that works, and save our lives. I love the way we think our need surpasses someone else's recompense for the time and effort they've put in to make that need of ours a reality, or a cure for that need. A tobacco boss was shot in Norwood.
Ooh,
yeah, did you see that? This is pretty scary. They were a potential client of mine. And I went to the offices.
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. And I thought...
She says, yeah.
And I thought, geez, today could be very different if we had have taken them on as clients. Very shady. So there were 9 shots to his head, but only one actually hit him.
They got him in the neck.
Yeah.
Luckily for him.
But also, how bad of a shooter do you have to be?
Well, I saw the video. Do you guys see the video?
No, I haven't seen it.
No. Why are these videos like suddenly a thing? Like even when Mark Batchelor was shot, suddenly there were people all over the world who were getting like pictures of the inside of his car and him lying there dead. And so police are investigating. His name is Simon Rudland from Gold Leaf Tobacco Corporation. You know, the tobacco trade, the drug trade, the security business, these are very dodgy areas. If you, you know, you can make a lot of money, but you could also be killed.
Well, apparently, I think it's like 25% or more of cigarettes in South Africa are illicit.
Yeah, I mean, so here's, they say CCTV footage, which must be what Gugu saw, shows suspects shooting at his car as he drove into the offices with his lawyer. It's quite clear from the footage they meant to harm him. They appeared just as he was driving into our offices, and after the shooting, they drove off. Sure. He's been hospitalized and is kept in intensive care. No arrests have yet been made. There must be stuff going on in the tobacco business that we don't know about.
Mm. Yeah. And this must be some sort of crime boss who's pissed off.
Now, I don't know how this is news, but it's news. The South African Post Office says it will now accept debit and credit card payments. Now,
wow.
Breaking news. I mean,
here we are. It's 2019. And I'm not even going to tell you more than that. Just to say, they think this is a big story. Ding, da, da, ding, ding.
Revolutionary.
Yeah, this is huge. Let's do it. Exactly. I mean, let's do this properly, right? I mean, let's go. That's right. The South African Post Office will now accept credit and debit cards.
Wow.
Who still uses cash?
Honestly, how much cash do you have on you on any given day? I hardly ever have
cash. If I have 50, it's a miracle.
And you don't want cash, because that's where bad things start to happen. Finally, in the news, autopsy has found broken bones in Epstein's neck and deepening questions around his death.
Ooh.
Yes, so now the thing about this is that the broken bones that were detected can occur in either a suicide or a homicide. So it doesn't clear up whether the Clintons strangled him.
Allegedly.
Or if he hung himself.
The Clinton strangle. Really?
Yeah, so now we don't know.
Hmm.
It's the exact same bone that would have happened if he hung himself or if he was strangled.
Wow. I'm really not taking the piss out of this situation. But if he was murdered, man, this is a great killer. Ooh, this killer knows exactly what they were doing.
It's unbelievable, right? I mean, this is really
unbelievable. That's like meticulous.
Yeah.
So the CNN's chief medical correspondent says, however, okay, so the fractured hyoid is what occurred.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm. However, with multiple neck fractures, which is what he had, it's less likely to be strangulation alone.
Ooh.
So in strangulation, you can break the hyoid bone. However, it's less likely to actually break bones, more bones in the neck. By hanging, someone can break both the hyoid and other bones.
Hmm.
So it's more likely a hanging.
Wow. Okay, so not necessarily more suspicion than we had before.
Mm.
The same amount of suspicion.
The same, yes.
What if the CNN health expert was paid as
by
well
the Clintons
to
we
say
know,
this.
We know this.
Oh, that's what
CNN,
it says here. Sorry.
You know CNN are shills for the Clintons, right?
See?
Yeah, you see.
Can I throw this in since we are talking about Jeffrey quickly? I just want to show you guys this picture as we go around the room quickly.
Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, wow. This is a picture. I know about this.
Uh-huh.
Jeffrey Epstein had a painting of Bill Clinton in a blue dress.
Yes.
Obviously, the Monica Lewinsky blue dress.
Yes.
And red court shoes.
Mm-hmm. Ah. That was hanging prominently in his house.
It's so
creepy.
I'm
going to dress up for you and you can paint me.
So now, of course, everyone is jumping onto this Jeffrey story.
Can we finally, I know I got into an argument with someone about how Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein weren't such good friends, but Bill Clinton and he were.
Well.
Right. Well, I mean, if he had a painting of Bill in a blue dress in his house, He must have been really good friends with Bill. I wonder if Bill saw the picture. He must have, right?
I wonder. And then what do you say about something like this?
Why do you have to put that up there? Oh, you know, I don't like that. It's very mean of you. Now, where are those young girls?
Yeah. Oh, no. It's so creepy.
I know. You know, I didn't come here to talk shit with you. I've only got 14 hours until Hillary comes back.
Gotta make the most of it.
Yeah, line them up.
So, take all of his creepiness aside. Jeffrey or Bill's? Well, both, actually, in this case. Yeah. But Jeffrey, in particular, made most of his money in finance and in hedge funds, etc., etc.
Yes.
So, now two people who have done business with him before and have had to go over to his house for meetings have secretly taken photos over the years and are now releasing them and talking about some of the weird things that are in Jeffrey Epstein's New York City house, which is worth, by the way, $56 million.
Nice. So not on his bones of his backside.
Not at all. This is the same dude who had a whole island devoted to his
pedophilia. He didn't have to stock up on toilet paper like all of us.
No,
he didn't have to worry about that.
How plebbish, please. So this Clinton portrait is just very odd and hangs very prominently, they say, in his home office. They also say that they've spotted a mannequin that hangs from the ceiling. That hangs from a ceiling that's around a main staircase. This mannequin is dressed in a wedding gown and has just always hung there. They said they never thought to ask Jeffrey about this, but it was just a thing that was noted around his home. And then in his home office... I love creeps. In his home office, Jeffrey had a full-size taxidermied tiger that was stuffed.
Wow.
And just knock out.
At least he's not like
chilling
Mike.
In there.
Mike Tyson had left tiger.
And then he also had a poodle that was also stuffed and just chilling in his home office.
Probably a former pet.
So, I mean, from the poodles to the tigers to the mannequin in a dressing gown hanging from the ceiling.
These people are bored and they're Clinton. Into such weird shit because they're so bored.
I agree with you. Clinton you painting. Said that the other day and I thought about it, you know. It's like these Hollywood celebrities who they've had all the drugs, they've had all the drinks, they've had all these unbelievable experiences. Like, everything in their world is catered for. They stay in 5-star hotels, they travel first class. There's nothing really that, you know, all of us hope one day to experience those things.
They haven't had hardships, difficulties, and trauma.
And they have all the sex as well. They can have sex with anyone because they're famous movie stars and singers and, you know, and sports people. And then what happens is they get to a point, like anything in life, where they're chasing the next high.
Mm.
So they get into more and more kinky and weird and bizarre and creepy stuff.
Like having girls recruited that they can abuse.
On an island.
Yeah.
In a massage room with sex toys, apparently. This is what his thing was.
With a picture of Bill in a dress and a stuffed tiger
massage
and poodle.
Room and sex toys.
Yeah, so what happened was that one of the people who's delivered testimony or has, you know, done some kind of... What do they call it? They call it a... when they get your statement, essentially.
Okay.
And it's read into the record. This guy who used to work for Epstein explained how he used to clean the rooms. Epstein apparently, over a period of 10 years, had over 100 girls who were, you know, brought in and out of his room over... I mean, 10 years, 100 girls, it's... Oh, that's a good hit rate. You'd be proud of that. It's not Julio Iglesias levels, but it's good.
My maths is bad.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot of
like
girls.
10 girls a year.
Right.
No, that's not really
one
a lot.
A month, maybe. But he would have to come in, this guy who used to clean for him, and he would have to tidy up with all the sex toys and the massage tables and the oils.
Imagine the
soup kitchen.
The soup kitchen. Well, he wasn't homeless, so you can't call it that.
Now, I'm sorry. Are we going to let all of those people off the hook as well? I'm not saying they need to go to prison or whatever.
What do you mean?
But they knew. They knew!
Yes, they knew.
They knew things for years.
You mean all these guys who would go to the island?
No, the people who worked for him.
Oh, no, well, they were just working for him. I mean, they don't have... Now they're obviously turning state witness so that they don't get prosecuted themselves.
Aren't you an accomplice in a...
No.
Accomplice of the crime?
You clean the house? No.
But
are you saying your domestic worker, if you murder someone in your house or you do something illegal in your house, your domestic worker gets arrested? Hell no.
Now, what if she knew and she didn't say anything?
Well, Joseph Fritzl's wife's still out there.
That's see, true.
Not to sound dramatic,
you want to take
but I'd like
nth
that.
Degree?
No, she didn't know.
She didn't know, please.
You know, if you are cleaning the house daily, you're walking into the house, you're seeing these young girls, you are cleaning up the sex toys. It's not as if you're cleaning up knives and forks.
With all the oils still on them.
You knew. No, you're an accomplice.
All right, here's Graham.
CNN medical correspondent. If he was murdered, let's just go over it slowly. Mm. The man had a pedophile island, and he was connected with some of the biggest people in the world. There's no ifs here. He was murdered because he had information
on
big people and their proclivity towards underage children.
Thank you, Greg.
That simple.
Right.
And I would not turn to CNN for any sort of news. Yeah. CNN medical correspondent, I'd be surprised if he had his nursing degree.
Can Sia stop talking about people in the news like they're his best buddies on a first name basis?
Like who? Jeffrey? What should I say, Mr. Epstein? The Sia. Creep?
Leanne is a bit of a grammar Nazi. She must get hanged. Right, please. You said hung, I think, at some point.
Oh, I did.
Hanged is always great.
I fall on my sword.
Talking about Epstein, did you read the article I emailed you yesterday? That's from Brendan. Brendan sent me this article.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. It's like full of conspiracy theories, but there's some stuff in there that had me very, very intrigued about Epstein and who he's connected to. I'll see if I can find it. But honestly, Brendan, a lot of it was absolute bullshit, like total right-wing conspiracy shit.
I'd want to read that. Let's see.
Yeah.
Well, just last point on... So what should I call him now? Mr. Epstein.
Mr. Epstein.
Yeah, all right. No.
No, Jeffrey Epstein. Just say his name and surname.
Last point on that.
You don't
that,
think it's your friend, Jeff?
Some hectic paparazzi who've gone to his island and have taken some never-before-seen photos of the island.
So apparently on this island, there's this little temple.
Well, there are. This is
underground buildings.
This, for me, is the main takeout of these new photos. There are several tiny buildings all across the island, and he also had a liking for strange art. So the picture that I'm seeing in front of me now is this very pricey piece of art. That's a cow, a model of a cow,
like a sculpture. Yeah,
and this cow, among other pieces of art, would change locations every couple of days on the island. That was clearly an instruction that he put out to his team. But more pictures show that it's not just one main mansion or house, but they're just several tiny buildings dotted all over the island, which makes you wonder, what are they for?
Mm.
This is the New York Post.
There's the fondling building and the abuse building.
I'm not laughing.
Fondling building.
This is the New York Post who's released these pictures. They also spotted tons of security dotted all over the island as well. So,
See, and those guys all knew what was going on.
They knew.
They see us saying they need to be arrested. All right, so many stories about Epstein. We've got to move on. I know you guys love Epstein, but he's dead now and you have to move on.
Oh.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Was that message paid for by?
No. That was the Clintons. Yeah, they gave me a bribe so that I will stop talking about the Epstein situation. They're very uncomfortable. Crooked Hillary's on the line right now. She's busy threatening. If I don't stop talking about them, I'm going to end up just like Epstein.
It's a broken hyoid.
Like, yeah. If you don't shut up, you... Bad things are going to happen.
I think the Clintons will be more known for all of their scandals than their time in the White House, actually.
Of course.
I think.
I mean, Bill was president, and he wasn't even that bad a president. I mean, you could say what you like about the Clintons, and they probably are, revolting people. But honestly, like Bill and Hillary, they will be known forevermore as these terrible people, and Bill especially, for being this kind of Bill Cosby type creep in the Oval Office. I mean, poor Monica Lewinsky thinks her reputation's ruined, but Bill's going to live with this forever. He's not going to go down as the 35th or whatever president of the United States. He's going to go down as the guy who went down. I put a cigar in Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, no.
That's what he did, remember? Yes.
I like my cohiba.
You don't want to remember that.
Yeah, I like it.
A jacuzzi is commonly known as an STD soup. Love from Dez. Thanks, Dez. That's great. All right, when we come back, news stories and lots of things that are going on. If you want to get hold of us, you can do that just like Dez did, 0797482090. Oh, by the way, before I get to the next hour of stuff, if you have emailed us already, core@cliffcentral.com, I am thrilled because we've got so many really, really great responses. So thank you to everybody who joined our panel. We are calling it the Cliff Central Caucus. Caucus.
See what you did
core,
there.
As in our core audience, the people we depend on for all of our good information and our useful tips and our guidance. You're our podfluencers, right? That's what we're calling you. The real influencers, because people talk about, I'm an influencer. No, we podfluencer is what we say you are. And if you are in our Cliff Central Caucus, you'll be getting an email back from us in the next day or two if you haven't already. And you can email us if you still want to join, core@cliffcentral.com, core@cliffcentral.com. Early adopters who are the first ones to move with the times. If you missed the message and you'd like to be part of our panel or our core listeners to share opinions and comments, then please email us, core@cliffcentral.com. We've been refining the model as we go along, and we would love your help in shaping the way forward.
This is cliffcentral.com.